The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. We got football in Houston tonight. You going?
No.
What the hell?
What are you talking about? You can't watch it on TV. You only got one TV on your patio. That's all
watch
you got.
On TV.
Well, you could go to.
Anyway, it could be canceled
beer.
If.
You can drink beer.
If they test positive for Rona today, it gets canceled.
No, guess what? Tulane landed. Okay, so what did I say? Delp and EAD.
You were so shook because I gave you a possible scenario.
Yeah, I heard it turned. I got to check it. I heard it turned a little more west.
It's what? Even what? It's coming? It's coming here?
Well, I don't know. It probably hit Lake Charles.
Please don't go to Lake Charles. Please leave Lake Charles alone.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Please leave Lake Charles alone. It just can't have any more. The casino was under the bridge.
Yeah, Hurricane Delta strengthens into Category 2 as it heads for Laura ravaged Louisiana.
Good Lord. Please stay away from Lake Charles. You know what? New Iberia can take it. But leave Lake Charles alone.
Sabine Pass,
poor people.
Texas, Morgan City.
Nobody's there anymore. Lake Charles, people, Allen was in, Allen, your best friend, the Cleveland Brown fan and Florida State fan, Dell, that Allen. He said he was in Baton Rouge. He said everything's closed and you can't go to it. There's no bars and everything. And most of the restaurants are closed. And Lake Charles people are all over the place.
Wait.
When I was in New Orleans, Lake Charles people were everywhere. And then in Dallas, too, nobody's in Lake Charles anymore.
Well, they're here, too, then.
Yeah, well, I would imagine.
The Hurricane Delta, that's the current watch is from Sabine Pass, Texas to Morgan City, Louisiana, including Lake Charles and Lafayette.
Yeah.
I mean, we just get hurricane after hurricane after hurricane after hurricane.
Yep, yep.
The water's so warm that it strengthens now to... Yeah, the water is so warm now that everything's strengthened into a 4. I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. We had a hurricane running through Houston yesterday. The J.J. Watt story that turned into a big national deal. I would imagine all of the national shows yesterday and this morning, the Wake Up or whatever this show is called here, and the whole situation. Everybody's picked it up now. It's not a nice story. I'll tell you this.
It's an interesting postscript as more continues to come out.
Right. And more will come out. Will come out. I got more info on trainers, equipment guys.
I got more stuff yesterday too. Yeah. And I'm just like, there is right now a scenario out there and there is a developing, theory that there is a chance that Bill O'Brien was trying to get himself fired. He had fights with Walter Lowe, or he had an argument, I guess, with Dr. Lowe.
Well, I talked to Doc Lowe yesterday. He did not confirm that.
He did not confirm that. Did he deny it?
He didn't. He said he didn't confirm it. No.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
right.
May or may not. I know there's an equipment manager who did. I got that.
Yes.
There
was a head trainer who did.
A head trainer. Yeah. That was one that I didn't think you had.
Yes.
But I heard that yesterday. A head trainer. You had JJ. Anthony Weaver got into it with Bill O'Brien. And there's somebody else that was in a building, too. There is a theory that emerged yesterday that Bill O'Brien, and then it was backed up with, notice that he, at his firing press conference, which not all coaches get that or do that.
No.
He seemed to be in good spirits. It was almost like he was let off the hook.
Well,
and so there's some people who believe that he wanted out of there and could get his money, and he didn't want. He saw what was coming because he knew he was losing the team, and he just wanted out as quickly as possible.
Well, I think he knew he had lost the team.
Yeah,
it's over. It was over a week because this happened before the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steeler practice was it? It wasn't in the game. It was the week of the practice.
The week of the practice.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's when it happened, and this was brewing for him for going on 10 days.
And it was not the first showdown that he and JJ had, by the way, but they said it was the worst.
Yeah, and Anthony Weaver was involved. Hey, here's a name I'm telling you right here and now. here's a name you add to the list, and it makes a lot of sense of coaches, possible coaches, which may be the first domino that falls in front of the general manager.
Well, Cal said no yesterday.
What?
Did you see that?
No.
Cal said they will hire a GM, first and then a coach.
Well, here's a name for the coach that is a real possibility.
Who?
Is Anthony Weaver.
Why?
Because
of what he's done so far?
Well, not really because of what he's done so far, but alignment. Alignment, okay? And I'm not saying that. I just think that if you know Anthony Weaver, you know Anthony Weaver is a great guy. Anthony Weaver cannot be a nicer person, cannot be a better guy. Anthony Weaver is the kind of guy I think that Jack Easterby would really like as the head coach.
But I think,
because he's the exact opposite of Bill O'Brien.
But remember now, he's running a defense that's been bad. Historically bad at this current point against the run. And
well, so Mike Vrabel didn't impress anybody with his.
This is way worse.
No, well, it's worse. It's worse right now, but let's not forget it's four games in.
He has no experience other than four games of dismal.
Don't forget he checks a couple of boxes too.
But one box he doesn't check is that Jack Easterby, this is going to be his legacy. And if he doesn't think that Anthony Weaver has a great chance of winning,
right,
then he isn't going to do that. Because that's, and besides, they did come out yesterday and say, because I was very concerned about this, they came out and said, we will hire Cal McNair on radio, said we will hire the GM first, and then the GM will choose the head coach.
That's good.
So I don't think, I've heard about some of the potential GM candidates. A guy that I think is interesting, who's got some Houston ties, is Marvin Allen. Marvin used to live here. He's the number two over with the Miami Dolphins. He's got the Patriots way.
We don't want that crap here.
Well, he's been with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been with the New England Patriots. He's right now with Chris Greer in the Miami Dolphins. Marvin was a running back at Tulane. Marvin is very, very sharp.
Tulane? Who's going to get their ass kicked tonight?
He was a Tulane running back. But Marvin is very well respected around the league. And Marvin is African-American. I think Marvin's a great guy to come in and get an interview and see what you think about Marvin Allen. So he might be on a list. He might be on a list. They'll have a list of guys if they really are serious about, and the owner came out and said it, so I would assume it's going to happen. But what's going to be interesting also is how public Jack Easterby is, because he's caught some bullets in the press.
Well, here's the deal is,
I think he's going to kind of hide.
Well, Jack
keep
Easterby,
it low.
Jack Easterby is a guy that wants to be in the shadows. Jack Easterby does not. Because, let's say, have you heard Jack Easterby do an interview?
No.
You know what, Jack Easterby has got he's got some receipts here that he's got to account for.
Oh, yeah, he was part of this.
Where was he on the D-Hop trade?
Yeah.
Where was he on the compensation? Where was he on the Laremy Tunsil deal?
Yeah.
Where was he on Laremy Tunsil signing a deal before they traded for him?
Oh, yeah.
Where was he?
Where is he on Brandon? He brought in Brandon Cooks.
Where was he on David Johnson coming here for $10 million?
Right.
He needs.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't get out of these moves with Bill.
He needs to account for all of these receipts that are sitting out here. And until he does, why? And oh, by the way, I've talked to more people that are just like, what the hell is Jack Easterby doing running a football team?
There's not, and this is the problem the Texans will have. Not one person in the league thinks that Jack Easterby is somebody that they would want to work for, where they have to report to him, because they don't see him as A, trustworthy, and B, a guy who's competent to do this. He's a guy who has worked his way into this position through nothing more than just talking. And that's going to be a big problem, is if you want the best GM out there. And I said this to somebody yesterday who I think is going to eventually get some names over there into the building potentially for GM stuff. I said, the best thing Jack Easterby can do, because people already think he's a snake and all this and that, the best thing he could do is to hire a great football guy and get out of the way and smile and go to these meetings and go to this and stay out
and
of football.
Stay out of football.
Stay out of football and let the Texans win because of his hire, because it will be known as, hey, Jack helped hire this guy who helped turn the team around. Then his reputation can move upwards. But if he thinks he's going to be a football guy,
well,
it's going to be a big
problem. I can tell you this with certainty. Jack Easterby was in football decisions and made bad football decisions. Mm-hmm. Bad football decisions.
Imagine
already.
That.
Because he was sticking his nose in football where he doesn't know.
Yeah, OB said it was him and Jack.
That's
him
right.
and Jack. Him
that's
and Jack.
Right.
You can't get away from that.
No, no, no. And so that's exactly right. But what kind of role does he have? What exactly what? If he hires a football guy that's going to be in charge of football, what exactly do you need a Jack Easterby for?
I don't know and I don't care. Just don't get in football. Do whatever else you want. Just don't do football stuff. And frankly, don't do cap stuff. He thinks he's a capologist, too.
And I can tell you.
See how that happens.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
With certainty, he's not.
No, he's not.
He doesn't.
I can tell you, too. Look at DeAndre. Look at Deshaun's contract and Laramie Tunsil's contract.
I want to know where he was on Laramie Tunsil signing before.
Yeah. What do you think? The whole organization was no.
No, not the whole organization was
well,
not no.
Obviously, there's one guy who was smart enough, and he's not there anymore.
Nope. And I'd like to know exactly. I might know already. 710 ESPN 97.5.
So you gonna get to Dusty Baker now? Gonna get to Josh James? Game three having a 7-4 lead and then letting Josh James go longer than an inning, which has been a known problem.
Apparently they don't
going
know
on 3 years.
Apparently they don't know it though.
How do you not know it?
I don't know.
This is going on three years. This is an issue.
It is amazing. You cannot go look at all of his numbers. You can't throw him. He can't sit down, get back up, warm up, and pitch again. He just cannot do it. It is a fact. I have no idea. It can't be more obvious, and yet they're so oblivious to it. It is amazing.
Right.
When he came out again for the inning, I was like, oh, no, you can't do this.
It's the most obvious. There's a huge sample size of problems with this.
No.
This is not a secret. This is a very well-known fact.
And see, I was happy with Dusty. Dusty, you've done a nice job. The only mistake you made was bringing Brooks Raley in the Minnesota game. That's the only mistake you made. And why did you take out Urquidy? Why? There was nobody on base. So another guy hit a so what? So bring in another guy. What's the difference? Let Urquidy go. See if he can get you six innings. You scrap, you fight. And you had a lead at 7-4. Why are you going to the pen at 4 1/3? It just doesn't make any sense at all with nobody on. I could see if he was in a jam. He's not in a jam. Just leave him in there. What the hell?
And I know Urquidy certainly wasn't as best. He's getting.
Everything was right here.
And those home runs were long.
The ball was jumping out. Ball was just jumping out.
Was jumped out
but
for three
straight
games.
Everything was right around the numbers.
In a regular game, you take Urquidy out and you don't. But the lack of no Zach Greinke and no Justin Verlander. What's happened is guys who would be long relievers, and we say long relievers, I don't mean in a bad sense. I mean in a very important sense for you. They can't do it anymore. You can't have Javier there anymore because he's going today. It's pushed all these bad relievers into the mix. It was an easy decision. Do I want to go let Urquidy keep going or let one of these slappies go two innings?
That's right.
That was your decision.
And the answer is slappies go one. 713 ESPN 97.5.
7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-7.
That's the correct answer. And he didn't, and he failed the test. All right, so now you got game four. See, you shouldn't have gone to game four. Now, I'm telling you, the A's have an edge. This is terrible. This is just terrible. Time to talk right now about who are you going to bet on? Well, I'm going to tell you who the favorite is. It's the A's. You can find that at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. If you're looking for the best way to play and win and get paid, my peeps, all you got to do, go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you can win. And when you win, you get paid. And you can double up your money. Your initial deposit is going to be doubled. So that is totally, totally sweet. What you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and start playing. It's easy to navigate. It's wonderful, and there's all kinds of betches you can make. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
717 ESPN 97.57 18 now. 713-780-3776. 713. Let's go. Talking about who wants to talk about game three? Who wants to talk about game four today? Who wants to talk about the JJ stuff? I mean, we broke it down yesterday, actually. All the other shows are doing it today, or we're doing it in the afternoon after it all broke. But we did break it down. If you didn't hear yesterday, you know, it was pretty obvious that JJ, with his comments after the game, immediately saying something that needs to change, something has to be different.
This
we
is
need
miserable.
To do something.
This is terrible.
This is terrible.
All of this stuff.
I mean, we heard JJ in the offseason when asked about Bill O'Brien.
Makes him such a great coach? That was not the answer he gave. Was not no. an answer affirming a great coach, that's
no.
for sure.
No, no, no. And so, I mean, this wasn't the first time, but it was pretty bad a couple of weeks ago before the Steelers game. And now it's over. Again, a gigantic cloud, but there's still a cloud over this organization. There is still a thunderstorm over right. the organization. It's not a hurricane anymore because Bill O'Brien came in and was a hurricane. He did walk out with about $15 million, which is pretty nice for Bill. Mm-hmm. Good for him because, honestly, after this and after all of the stuff and everybody hears the trainer story, the equipment story. Everybody's going to hear all this. Bill O'Brien is going to have a hard time finding a job anywhere.
Yeah.
Even in the college ranks.
Well, the coaches he's gotten rid of that or have left because they didn't like him. Like, what I found out is that the word has spread around the league already because I assumed he'd be able to get a job somewhere because he's won divisions, he's won some titles. What I was told by two or three people was that I said, no, OB's reputation is just it's he's too hard to work with and he just doesn't have a good reputation right now. He's a problem behind the scenes and he's viewed see teams take this whole everyone in one direction thing very seriously. They look at him and they see, okay, he got rid of Rick Smith, all right, which everyone knew that he and Rick didn't get along, I guess. But when his guy, Brian Gain, who was a football guy, who was a nose to the grindstone and didn't want to be in the public eye at all, didn't want to do any interviews, just wanted to be about football, when he gets whacked after a year, everyone knew, this is a big problem over there in Houston.
Yeah.
And then when Jack Easterby was added to the mix, who I didn't even really know Jack Easterby until somebody told me about him when Gain got fired, everyone around the league now says, okay, this is a problem because he's a power guy. He wants all the power. And now he's also a yell and scream and can't get along with anybody guy.
Yep.
So he is going to have – you may see him go back to the college ranks or be an offense coordinator.
Well – I guess if I'm a head coach, I still worry. Maybe in New England, Bill Belichick doesn't worry about him. But
we have to worry if he's on your side.
If he's on the same page.
Side. Yeah.
Because look at all the people, everybody that.
Because now you're gonna see him screaming at Tom Brady. Although Tom Brady had good things to say about him, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw Tom. Tom Brady was bummed that he got fired after four games.
What? Oh, yeah, keep him here.
Hey, yeah,
we got a game against Texans sometime within the next couple of years, maybe.
Yeah,
actually, they don't.
They don't.
Tom will be gone by then. But
yeah, but. Yeah, I mean that. Who cares what Tom Brady thinks about what's going on here in Houston?
I don't.
I don't. But no. But that same stuff that's going on, that's swirling around Bill O'Brien, is swirling around Jack Easterby.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just more quiet. It's taking place behind the scenes with NFL teams, and that's where you're trying to get your. That's where you're trying to get your people. Here's my biggest concern: Jack didn't know a lot of people, a lot of organizations. I've been told the Patriots organization will probably just shut. There's three different organizations, probably the Ravens, the Bills with Brian Gain over there, and the Patriots, who will shut him completely out. No one will go. No one will come over and work for Jack Easterby. So my concern is that he doesn't know enough people around the league. He doesn't know the top prospects. He doesn't have connections on other teams. The problem is you got a guy who doesn't have the experience and doesn't have the interpersonal relationships with other people around the league. So he's going to have to go out. Maybe it's a good thing. He'll have to go outside of himself to like Korn Ferry or whoever as a consulting group to bring in the candidates. And then you got him ultimately making the decision, because we know it's not Cal. I mean, it's not going to be Cal.
Well, no, it's got to be somebody that is going to be aligned with Jack Easterby, who does, I don't know what he does, but you've got to be aligned with, and then the coach has got to be somehow aligned. A little birdie was telling me, not so sure that the Patriots, that it ended quite the way that, you know, maybe Jack is portraying it, that he wasn't all that thrilled with what happened with Robert Kraft and the rub and tug. It was more the Patriots were pushing him out the door.
I've heard that. I think Jack has his story and the Patriots have theirs. Yeah. I've heard the push out the door, like they thought he was trying to grab power. And then I've also heard that there was more to the Kraft stuff and that Jack really didn't like. So, I don't know what to believe. I know that they've lied a lot in the Texans front office with Jack and Bill O'Brien. They told a lot of lies. Like, I sat in that media event and I just sat there. You know, I will tell you this too. Somebody asked me, like, I wish you would have told some of these stories. I got a couple friends who are in that building, and I don't get stuff from one guy who's been my lifelong friend since I was in seventh grade, he was fifth grade, is John Harris. And he's not in that inner circle. So he doesn't get any of that stuff. I don't get stuff from him in that regard. We talk football, we talk Texans. I don't get that kind of stuff from John Harris. He's a sideline reporter. He does Texan stuff. He's not inside the inner circle. He didn't have any of this stuff. I've always been careful. I've never, ever, ever wanted paranoid Bill O'Brien to think that somehow Johnny was going behind his back or whatever, where he would whack Johnny. Because when everyone's getting whacked, like a scene out of Goodfellas, whenever you see Frankie Carbone hung up in the meat locker with the coat that he wasn't supposed to buy, I never wanted anything for Bill O'Brien to assume that Johnny Harris was bad-mouthing him or saying anything, because Johnny's got a job to do, and he's trying to do his job. And I don't want Johnny to get whacked by Bill O'Brien. So I'm sitting on some stuff that I have, and I'll just let it play out as I don't think he's a good GM, because I didn't, and I don't think he's the right guy. But I never wanted him to ever think that somehow Johnny Harris was, because Johnny wasn't. And I never wanted to put my friend in harm's way ever, ever, ever. And so I've always been very, very careful about that. And in fact, when I got into a little bit of a... a little bit of an argument with OB on a phone call after a media event, I had to throw somebody under the bus unintentionally, but, well, it was intentionally. I had to let him know my real source on something because he drops Johnny's name in there, and I had to make sure he knew this was not Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
This was somebody on your own staff. I had to tell him, I got something from somebody on your own staff about something that you had said about me. I don't want to go into all of it, but what I'm saying is, I was trying to protect, like, the football, the GM stuff, and I try to keep the personal stuff separated from the football stuff. He was an embarrassment as a general manager. Do you understand that he turned Jadeveon Clowney into Mingo's gone? So he's turned it into Jacob Martin and paying off part of his salary, $7 million, and Gerrion Conley. This is what he turned it into. He turned Jadeveon Clowney into Gerrion Conley, still on the injured list right now. He paid off $7 million as part of Clowney's salary. He sent money that way, and Jacob Martin. So in other words, you traded Clowney for Jacob Martin is basically what you've done. Then he took DeAndre Hopkins, dealt him for a second, but that second became Brandon Cooks. So he traded DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon Cooks David Johnson. See if your fantasy football commissioners will allow that. Try to make that trade in your fantasy football office, in your fantasy football league. See if the commissioners will be okay with that. Then he took, so that's what he got for DeAndre Hopkins and Jadeveon Clowney. He got Gerrion Conley, Brandon Cooks, and David Johnson. That's who he, and Jacob Martin. That's who he got for those two guys. And then for two first rounders and a second rounder, he got Laremy and Kenny Stills. I mean, this is terrible value. It's awful value. He had no idea. He paid, not just him, Jack Easterby did this. Jack Easterby paid Randall Cobb, the guy who was responsible for all these things, also gave Randall Cobb
Brandon
a deal that
Cooks.
Should have been a one-year deal. Jack Easterby brought Brandon Cooks in. They gave up a second. I asked a team just the other day, I said, what would you have legitimately given up for Cooks? And they said, I don't know. I said, a fourth? He goes, if that. I mean, you're taking salary mm-hmm. off of LA's hands. You got all the leverage. You tell them it's a fifth or there's no deal, and they say no, and then they call back and they say yes. That's how it usually works.
Not with Bill O'Brien. Yes, yes.
Yeah, they gave up.
Just do it. Do it.
I mean, they gave up a second. Oh. They gave up a second. It should have been a fifth.
All right. We got 727, 728, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We'll start taking calls on the other side. 713-780-3776.
Hey, guys, when you are, if you want to watch your baseball, if you want to watch your basketball, wouldn't it be great if you're out on your patio when this weather has not been, it's not been humid at all in the evening? And it's been a great place to watch my games. I'll be watching a Merseyside Derby out there this weekend as Everton takes on Liverpool, and I'll make all my family stay inside. I go out there. I got the surround sound system on, and I'm watching it on a big screen TV. That could be you. Why are you bullcorning? That could be you. Let Texas Custom Patios work with you, and they can show you exactly what the design will look like. I mean, to a T. You'll see exactly what it looks like. They build it onto your existing structure where it looks like it's been there from day one. They can also do freestanding, obviously. But we're talking about an area where you can have an outdoor kitchen or an outdoor entertainment center or just an additional space. They can do sunrooms. They can do anything that you're looking for. But the quality is beyond anything else that is being done in the state of Texas. They're considered the best in the state of Texas. They win awards year after year after year. You should check into it because it gets dollar for dollar value back when it comes time to sell the home. And I promise you, this will be your new favorite place to hang out, your own patio. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, see the before and after, and schedule a consultation. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite. Nike crossbody, got a piece in it. Got a dance, but it's really on some street. I'ma show you how to get.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:30, ESPN 97.5. Did you watch the fly on the head last night?
The what?
The fly on the head?
No. I was recording an off-script podcast with Eric Lee.
Oh, you missed the...
Fly on the head was... What does that mean?
Fly on the... Well... During the debate, a fly landed on Pence's head and sat there for about 10 minutes.
No way. Oh, I wouldn't have been able to watch that. Yeah. Like,
and it was,
really?
Well, and somebody put out a tweet that said everyone, when that fly landed, was somebody
I think
in
that
movie
was Raheel.
Just started pointing.
It was Raheel. It was the Leo gif from or meme from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's pointing at the television or something.
Where he just pointed at the television.
Everyone's
that's
like,
what
that's
everybody did.
There's
a fly on his head.
It's got to be. Is it trending?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is it trending?
Of course it is. Oh, there it is. Flygate.
Fly,
he had a fly on his head. He possibly had pink eye. It wasn't a great visual.
Somebody for you put a poo emoji out there.
Well, what I said was one thing that causes both of those things to happen. Poop. What one
you
thing
put
causes
Mr. Poo out there?
What one thing causes both of those things to happen at the same time?
Mr. Poo?
Yeah, poop.
Poop.
You wipe. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Pence, but it wasn't a great visual for him last night.
No, it wasn't. At least you could understand them both.
Well, they actually there was some civility.
There was some civility,
as opposed
which
to
was
the
nice.
Previous
I mean,
one.
And yeah, did, no, I expected that.
And did
yeah,
you did you hear?
Was, I thought it was good. That's not like they answered any questions.
No,
but,
that's not what they're there for. No. Did you hear though that the next presidential debate will be completely virtual? They won't.
And Trump's not doing it.
Well, I guess he probably won't. But the commission.
No, he's already said it. The debate. I'm not about that.
Well,
I ain't doing it.
He didn't do well the last time. He may want to avoid him.
Yeah.
You might just want to avoid him altogether. But, yeah, so poo on the head of the vice president. Not poo.
Fly.
That was my thought. Fly on the head of the vice president was the thing last night.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
It was a big thing last night. I knew it. I said, and I zoomed in on it. I put this is the only thing everyone will talk about
you
tomorrow.
How could you you couldn't concentrate on anything other than
no,
fly,
you had
right?
No. You everyone
just
that's
sat
all
there. I saw the fly.
When is the hot fly gonna leave?
His fly's
and I
not
thought
moving.
It was stuck. He had so much hairspray. I thought the fly was actually entangled in there.
That was my thought when I'm watching this just now. I was like, how long did this happen? Because there's no, like, he could have gotten stuck in there.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
No, I thought he died in there from the fumes.
If I saw
the
hairspray
fumes
sitting on somebody, I would never be able to concentrate on anything
else. I know. Kamala was probably like, hey, you got to get that fly off
your
head. Hey,
just do this.
Do this. That would have been, now, that would have been something.
Reaching across the aisle.
Yeah. To well, say, hey, or look. If she'd have gone, hey, get that fly off your head. Yeah, because I feel so, and she would have been, and actually she would have won the world. She would have won the world over.
Well, the the former vice president, if you type in flywillvote.com, it'll flip to iwillvote.com, which it's supposed to let you know if you're registered to vote. But yeah, they now flywillvote.com is a thing.
Okay, so flies now get to vote too?
No, it's just clever.
Yeah.
And now their campaign, they're raising funds off of the fly. He had a fly swatter. Well, Biden did. He had a fly swatter and said, hey, you call this number if you want to or donate, whatever the tweet was. So,
well, somebody said he's going to I think it was Chance, said he's probably going to have an office in his cabinet, the fly will.
No, I said that.
You said
maybe
that? That was you?
I said I've seen enough House of Cards to know that Biden-Harris said, hey, you do this for us, we got a place for you.
We got a place for you.
Yeah, pitch in $5 to help this campaign fly is the tweet, and he has a fly swatter.
So, and no, by the way, pink eye is now a thing. And because everybody zoomed in on his eye.
Yeah.
And it could have been makeup in the eye. It could have been.
Either way.
Or it's a precursor to COVID.
That's the other thing. Apparently,
conjunctivitis.
Yeah,
it is one of the symptoms.
Yeah, so
one of the symptoms of what?
COVID.
Well, everything is. We've had so much stuff. Has been. Remember when it was okay? Shortness of breath, dry cough, fever.
Right?
Fever, dry cough, shortness of breath.
Well, diarrhea. Then it turned into diarrhea.
Then it turned into also runny nose. You could be stuffed up. Well, also you can't smell or taste.
Right.
Then it was like,
that's real.
Also, your eyes, it feels like almost like allergy or cold-like symptoms. Then it's upset stomach and nausea. I'm like, we've covered what's left. This sounds like something that is a pill that
you're
you take.
Sick.
And yeah,
it sounds like you're sick.
Yeah, it sounds like you're sick. Is there what else? Achy joints and pain. Yeah. We've added everything now.
Yeah. No, that's basically
and
your.
So now,
oh, you mean if you're
pink
sick?
Pink eye's in there now.
It's always been there.
So the flu is gone, colds are gone, allergies are gone. It's just basically everybody has COVID.
That's what people believe.
Let's get Shannon in here. Wants to talk about a new coach. What do you say, Shannon?
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't know. Pence seems pretty fly for a white guy.
Oh, well, you pulled it off there.
Aren't you from Beaumont, Shannon?
Hey, real quick, let me stir the pot on the Texans thing.
Yeah.
Especially, given the history of Bill O'Brien and the Patriots coaching tree. So, as we all know, what about, would it be insane to even think Matt Patricia comes over to Houston, Bill O'Brien goes over to the Lions, because they both need a fresh start, and we get a little WCR, white coach recycle going on. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah,
not interested. I'll pass on that.
Patricia?
I'll pass on that.
Goodness gracious.
That 10-25 run.
I hope you're joking.
He is.
Not that funny. Neither of your little scenarios were all that funny.
I mean, I dabbed on one of your pretty fly for a white guy. I felt like that was worth a dad dab.
I don't think there's anything really that requires a dab anymore.
That fly joke was.
Well, are you using the dab as a negative?
Yeah, I mean, it's an ironic dab.
Okay.
Obviously, as all of mine are.
Hey, are we okay with Tampa leading the series 2-1 over the Yankees?
What do you mean, okay with
are
it?
Are we okay with this?
I ain't even worried about them now.
I don't know if I'm down.
If Dusty hadn't done what he did yesterday, I would actually care about that series
more. It
would
be 3-0.
We'd be done with this.
You'd be done with the series. Now you know what you have? You have McCullers in game 5.
You're still going to win the series.
You have McCullers in game 5. Okay, well, which game? This game?
You're going to win.
Christian Javier?
You're going to win the series. Yes, you're going to win today.
Because who's your middle guy?
Christian Javier.
Who's your guy to pull you through the 2 or 3 innings?
Oh, Cannoli's coming.
The most you get is 2 innings out of him.
So, there you go. And Presley
closes. Javier must.
No, you get Blake Taylor. You got Blake Taylor.
Javier must go five innings.
Okay.
He must go five innings.
Must go five.
Then you've got, you hope Anoli does a great job for two innings.
Yeah.
I mean, typically you want him one, but right. You don't really have a choice anymore.
Nope. Nope. No, you don't have a choice. Just what?
And if you don't get it, then Lance McCullers goes game five.
I'm still thinking, don't worry about it. We're winning this.
You game. Expect to have a great sports day, don't you? You expect an Astros win that and leads into Houston
then,
too late.
And then U of H wins.
Yeah, you're expecting a really good day.
Okay,
today.
That's fine. That'd be fine with
day.
Me.
I'm expecting a great day.
That'd be fine with me. That's going to be a tough game for Houston. Willie Fritz is, although that team hasn't played as expected up to this point against the number. But we'll see what happens. But with
no, there's some payback from last year's game coming their way. Remember, they scored in the last play of the game to win, or last minute. They faked the take a knee, and they ran. They remember that? Remember
oh
that?
Yeah, that's right.
Is the
yeah.
kid who dropped the touchdown for U of H still on the roster?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's playing.
Yes, okay. Actually, he is.
They call him Danny Drops.
That's not his name. Isn't it Stevenson? Is that his name?
No, is that wasn't Stevenson?
Was it Corbin or
no,
Stevenson?
No, that wasn't Stevenson.
Who's dropped the ball? Corbin.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's him.
Yeah.
But here's my problem with the – here's my concern with the Astros. There is no way that you can hide the bullpen. Like, you know, if you had all your guys healthy, even if Zach Greinke's healthy, you have a chance to have a couple – you have a chance to have one of your hammers in the bullpen. Like, now with Zach Greinke out, Javier had to leave the bullpen because it'd be great to have a Javier, a guy mm-hmm. who could go three innings.
Well,
you now don't have
you
a
You win yesterday
guy.
If you had Javier in the bullpen.
There is no – yeah.
You yeah. win yesterday.
I mean, can you imagine the balls to bring in Javier in the pen?
Wow.
To bring him in knowing that
and
you have
end the
no,
series?
And then Lance McCullers off 2 days rest? This is a kill. Not having rest is a killer.
Mm-mm.
It is a for a team who has a bad bullpen. The
team that lost its front two starters? I mean, we talk about San Diego, but they got Clevinger back. What about the Astros? They don't have JV or Greinke.
Well, JV's been gone forever, so the Greinke thing is the big concern because Greinke allows you one guy in the bullpen that can eat up medium amount. They can eat up 2 to 3 innings. You don't have that. Like, who is your guy? You're saying it's Anoli.
Yeah.
Brevis. I would say Blake Taylor probably needs to start getting some of that.
Yep.
You don't have anybody else.
No.
Oh, and yesterday
you don't have a Brad Peacock that can bridge the gap.
Yesterday, the Padres removed Clevinger from the roster, so he's back off the.
He's back off.
Yeah, he's back off. Dusty's decision yesterday by bringing Josh James back out.
Well, what's the difference? They're down 2-0. They're done.
No, but they did it before the game. It yeah. wasn't. Yeah, so they did it before the loss yesterday. But so he's done for. Dusty's decision yesterday turned this into a 3-0 sweep, and it turns the Astros into a College World Series team where you have to. Piece together yeah. a way to get through. Although you only need one win, which is clearly better than the alternative, which is what the A's have to do. But it makes – come on, man. Everyone knows. I was getting texts from people. Don't bring Josh James back in. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
And you just made this extremely difficult. And it. Mm-hmm. And when would the ALCS start?
Oh, it's Saturday.
No, it's Sunday.
So Saturday Sunday. Is your potential day off.
Yeah.
Okay. So it just screws up the entire rest of the way. Because he can't figure out what everyone else knows.
And if you just get it done, I'm not saying he had a lot
today.
Of look. I'm not saying he had a lot
They're
of.
They're going to win today. They got 2 days off. They're going to start. I guess McCullers in game one. I guess
no, but
you could go. No, you can go Fromber in game one.
Well, here's the thing though. If you don't win, this is the problem. If
but
you don't
win
today,
it's over.
Okay. Well, if you don't win today, because you still have the same bullpen that we act like this. I mean, Javier has to go deep. It's the same. Duty bullpen, it doesn't matter. We were able to fool ourselves by having Fromber in the pen and Javier in the pen, and they went to, you know, Presley, and you didn't have to see all the junky junk. Now there is no choice. There's no structural damage. I didn't even think that he needed to even be discussed. No structural damage was Zach Greinke. Well, crap. Now that you have Zach Greinke out, you don't have a bridge guy in the middle of the bullpen, and. Now you can't have. Now you just can't leave. Now it's like the A's have locked the door in a scene from Bronx Tale with the bikers and the guys and the Italian guys from the neighborhood when they're about to fight. I feel like, well, now the Astros can't leave. Dusty could have got. I'm not going to put it all on Dusty. I mean, we don't know if anyone would have survived two innings. But I know this much. Now you can't hide your bullpen. When you go every single day and you don't have Zach Greinke and you've had to move. Javier into a starting role. You had nobody as a gap bridger between, you know, to Presley, who I guess we're confident in Presley again. So, man, the offense better. They've cranked it up the whole time. They were mashing it again yesterday, you know, hitting home runs and they're hitting the ball hard. They're hitting the ball hard. And we know afternoon games in L.A. are those hits are going to jump out. We know that fly ball pitchers are in for trouble. We know that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Urquidy, try to throw it around somebody's knees.
He just did not have
everything was in his up in his zone.
He didn't have his breaking pitch.
I mean, everything was up in his zone. Everything. I mean, that was like, dude, bring it down. Even I know that. Bring it down. Come on, Maldonado. Put the glove down. Let's get him to throw down. Goodness gracious. Time to talk about Doc Linville. Talk about having your hair up. Okay, look at my long. For those of you on Twitch, you can see my long flowing locks. Okay, me and Fred. Man, we got some hair now. Okay, and it's all because of Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best. Go to 975hair.com if you're somebody that's follically challenged. Now, you can't be just challenged, but the doc can do the PRP, where he takes your blood, stirs it up, and then he'll shoot it back into your skull here, and it will increase the hair growth in your head. You can, you know, that it works. He does this. So if you're follically challenged. Now, if you're bald, if you got a giant bald spot, or you are seriously balding on top. I had male pattern balding. People have, you know, want to do it up here. Fred had to do up in the front a lot more than I did. So that's what that happens to. He does it all. But here's the deal. If you're looking for hair, if you're sick of not having hair, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You would think seven runs were enough yesterday. You would think that. But you had Josh James. You know what? Just don't bring in Josh James anymore. That's all. I knew you had to. But my goodness. I mean, have you all of the data? I mean, I know you're dusty, and you know what? You go by feel, by gut. You have a toothpick. I know that. You're flying by the seat of your toothpick. I get that. Know a little bit about your team. This has been. I mean, you could have watched the Astros years past, Dusty, and known he can't pitch. He can't sit down, go warm up, and pitch again. He can't do it. Gosh,
Where's Brent Strom on this?
You know what?
If Dusty didn't know, why didn't Strom know?
Yeah, no, I've always I brought that up. Strom knows his pitching staff. Like, Strom's got to take a little heat, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Strom knows this guy. Dusty, sit down. Well, that's not how Strom talks. I just wish he did. But Strom knows these guys. He knows what his problems are. It's on Strom, too. You can't let that happen.
No.
You've seen that. Dusty just got here. Dusty's just worried about what his surgical gloves and stuff like that not fitting. You know what Josh James is capable of not doing. Step in, Strommer.
Is Strommy the Jack Easterby behind the scenes? He's got
I'm gonna let that roll like that didn't happen.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
No one can see what you're doing.
No one can hear you.
If you're not talking.
You're a very bad person.
You know what you did.
Is he behind the scenes going, Dusty, put him back out there.
For what reason?
Put him. Because he's trying to destroy the organization.
Why would Strom like, want to destroy?
Dusty's Bill O'Brien and Strommy's Jack Easterby.
Huh.
He's trying to get fired.
I'm not going to compare one of the greatest pitching coaches of all
decision.
Time to
trading
Easterby.
D-Hop for David Johnson in the second rounder or putting Josh James out there.
It's A. There's nothing worse than
B.
It's
B.
Well, because it happened yesterday.
You could have won a series.
Yeah, but there's no worse decision than what happened yesterday. With DeAndre.
This is kind of the same as A.J. Hinch in 17, where people were upset about his bullpen choices, but the fact was he had no bullpen choices, especially in Game 5, where at some point you need somebody to do their job. Like, who do you want A.J. to go? He's got to go to somebody. It's got to be guys in the bullpen. Dusty is at a point now where as soon as you take Urquidy out, and I get that Urquidy didn't have his best stuff, but it really was a choice between, what the hell are you doing? It seems like you're sinking like Rupert.
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
I am.
My chair
is sinking.
Yeah, your chair is sinking. It really was a case of Dusty should have thought of this as, would I rather have Urquidy throw an extra inning or one of my slap nuts in the bullpen throw an extra inning?
Urquidy.
Yeah.
Urquidy.
Now, that was definitely
as soon
not
as he took him out, I said, why?
That was not a very
why
good.
Take him out?
That was not a very good version of Urquidy, but we've seen how this plays out with the rest of that bullpen. The bullpen, you have to limit how many guys they face. You have to.
Yes.
Just have to.
So, you know what? You got to have the same thing today with Javier. Sorry, Javier. I know you pitched on Monday.
Just one Brad Peacock would have made all the difference in the world in this bullpen. Just one bridge guy or a guy who could give you a bullpen start or whatever. Yeah, it would help. You don't have any bridge guys now because Zach Greinke. And here's what they're saying about Greinke. His ailing right arm is structurally sound, and the team is still hopeful he can contribute at some point this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't sound hopeful.
He
did say the Astros aren't expected to announce his opponent until Thursday morning. Greinke might be available. We're a little thin, Baker acknowledged. Whoever starts tomorrow, we need some innings out of them. No kidding. Whoever starts. What do you mean whoever starts? Unless Grinky's going to get the magic start, it's Javier.
Well, says you, or he might go with Blake Taylor for the first.
Oh, a game by bullpen?
Yeah, that might be.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
No, more of the bullpen.
An opener.
More of the bullpen would be great.
Yeah. No. Well, you know you got to go to the bullpen anyway.
Well, I asked you about an opener yesterday.
Well, you might not have a choice. That's all.
If you had gone Josh James in inning number one, then you could have got five out of Urquidy. You're done six. You're six in. You still had to worry about three more innings. Like, there's still no answers.
So, Josh James in inning.
Brooks Raley has to get in the game at some point. Yeah.
Haven't we seen enough of that?
We've seen enough of Josh James.
We haven't seen Cy Snead yet. So maybe it's a Cy Snead game. We have not seen Cy Snead. Okay, let's go.
No.
That's it. I've decided. Can't get enough Cy Snead. What?
This is just...
Dude, he's rested. Okay, how many guys are rested like Cy Snead?
There's literally no answer to this riddle has no answers to it. And you are dead. Like, you have no prayer in the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Where every game is back-to-back. You don't have anybody who can pitch in the middle at all. Like, you are dead man walking, even if you win this series. Because this no rest thing for a team that doesn't have a good bullpen is awful. It's awful. And it's not like you have Garrett Cole and JV eating up innings and letting bullpen guys rest. That doesn't exist on this staff.
No.
So, Grinky's not a seven-inning guy anyway, even when he's healthy.
So who do we see? Javier, Paredes, Taylor? That's who we see.
Presley.
And Presley.
All four. In
all
a perfect world, all four of those probably. You got Javier in a perfect world, Javier six, Paredes seven, or Blake Taylor seven, depending on if they're lefties. Paredes eight, and then Presley nine in a perfect world. And there you need Javier to go six.
And maybe you see Scrub for a second consecutive
day. Urquidy had damn near 50 pitch. Oh, yeah, Scrub too. Scrub needs to be used, but Urquidy had damn near 50 pitches in the first two innings. I was like, oh, my God, this is terrible. This is terrible because this means the bullpen is surely coming.
Yeah, there might be a Luis Garcia sighting. That's what and Jackie says. It's Javier and Garcia. And get those two the most possible innings. That's a real possibility. actually, what we've seen of Garcia has been pretty damn good. So, you know what? Garcia, guess what? Step up. Step up, big boy. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's possible.
Yeah. He's got a 292 this year. He pitched in five games. He started one. That one start was awesome. Remember, didn't he have a no-hitter going?
I'll look for it.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. So, guess what? It's a Garcia day. Guess what? Garcia saves the world for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a Garcia day. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't care what kind of day it is. What it needs to be is the day the bats are continue to smack it out of the park. That's what it has to be.
Let me look at his game log. Yeah, he had that wonderful start, remember? He had that one as a start when everybody was like, why'd you take him out? What's wrong with you? He started, he gave up a 4 1/3, one hit, one run, one earned run, and five innings of one-hit ball at Oakland. Five innings of one-hit ball. Finally, yeah, that's right, 86 pitches. That was his wonderful start. And then an inning and a third, gave up two runs, an inning and a third, he gave up a run, and then a third of an inning at Texas. He hasn't pitched since the 27th of September. That seems like a long rest.
Well, who else did you just say you feel good about because they have a long rest? Cy Snead?
Cy Snead. You got to feel good about Cy Snead right now.
His last, three innings, five hits, three runs. His last three.
But he did have one good start. Maybe that's it. And, oh, by the way, you saw a scrub yesterday. He looked okay. A scrub can throw today.
Yep.
Anoli, but you can get maybe an inning out of Anoli. You can get Cy Snead. He's rested. Taylor can get you a third of an inning.
Maybe go a scrub before Josh James. Could have been a move, too.
Yep. I don't know why he thinks, what the hell? What is this infatuation with Josh James?
Well, we knew Josh James would be in the mix because he's been in, this is his third playoffs. Like, he's been in, he's pitched in 18, 19, and now 20. Josh James is turning into a guy that you just simply, he's just a thrower. He's not a pitcher. That's who he is. He can throw hard, but he's never really learned to pitch. He's never really learned to change, levels on guys. He just doesn't pitch.
No.
He just throws.
Well, and the thing about, and this was said by a player, was, Josh James was much, much better when he knows he's coming in for an inning. He's a closer because he comes in for an inning and throws. No, he throws 100.
I don't want to hear that.
He throws 100 miles an hour, and he knows he's only got one inning. Because when he was a starter, he's not throwing 100 anymore. He's throwing 95, and it's meat. Guys are crushing
him. He's a one-inning pitcher. Don't call him a closer.
Well.
God, we've had Ken Giles. He's not a closer.
Ken Giles was the Mr. Perfect as a closer.
Don't run this Raheel narrative through us.
Hold on. If we're going to agree that Josh James can only pitch one inning, then we should also be able to make the consideration that Ken Giles is only good saving games, a scenario that he's good at. And what is Josh James good at? Pitching one inning.
But just because you give up when you've got a three-run lead and you give up two runs, I don't give you a credit for a save.
It's a save, though.
That's called almost screwing
up. Have you watched the Astros?
You saved the
game? Have you watched the Astros bullpen this year in blowing games?
They got to change saves. The definition of save.
We talked about this with him about how he wouldn't give Osuna credit for being a good closer because he felt uncomfortable sometimes with him out on the mound.
He wasn't a good closer.
Do you think he's a good closer now?
Did you like him?
How'd you like to have him now?
I'd like it fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't have arms.
Thank you.
There's no arms.
Oh, okay.
You know who else I take? Brad Peacock. Man, I wish Brad Peacock were here. I wish Chad Qualls were here.
Man.
Yeah. I wish Chad. I wish Dan Maselli was here.
And the numbers.
I made
that.
Brad.
He is what a closer is today.
That's right.
Tony Sipp. Bring back the good old days of Tony Sipp.
Love Brad Peacock. I made his wife uncomfortable, actually.
You love them too much. He loved him too much.
I did love him a little too much.
Always,
7:59 ESPN 97.5. I love Jeff Aronoff too. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, not like that. Not in a hey buddy kind of way. Hey buddy.
A Brad Peacock.
Hey buddy, put a new outdoor kitchen in it for me. Thanks, buddy. That's that kind of love. That's the kind of love I have for Jeff Aronoff. And here's the deal: Jeff Aronoff is just spectacular. Here's the deal: if you're looking for somebody that's gonna get that job done for you, put in an entire fireplace, put in all the brick, put in all, make an entire outdoor kitchen for you, put in your patio, put in the patio around your pool. You know what? Your business, it needs new countertops. Let Jeff Aronoff come in there, take care of that business for you. Give him a call. Let him come, take a look, survey the scene, and Jeff Aronoff will, and Absolute Marble and Granite, will come in and get that job done for you. This is a great time, especially all of you bars out there that are closed right now. This is a great time to upgrade. I know, yeah, well, money might be a little tight, but guess what? You ain't making no money if you don't get any business in there. And if your place is Shungad, you need Jeff Aronoff. Let him come and fix this thing up. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.